This is 16.9, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. We're all about digital signage and have been since 2006. We cover what's interesting now and what will be interesting and important one day soon. And we filter out all the BS. This podcast is a chance to add depth and color to what we do online, and it gives smart people a chance to really talk about their companies and their ideas. You can hear new episodes weekly on your smartphone, tablet, or desktop, free of charge. 16.9 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful, ready-made, auto-delivered, and auto-updated content for screens. When I get asked about digital signage installations that I think really have it together, I tend to talk a lot about Microsoft's retail stores, and more recently about the crazy one-by-many-hundreds video wall at the check-in counters at Orlando's airport. Turns out both projects were pulled together by Synec Media, a Seattle-area agency that is as much an integrator as it is a creative design studio. Yahav Ron started the company in 2011, really on the back of work he was doing for Microsoft. But his experience in digital signage goes back a lot longer, to his days with the Israeli video wall software company Scenario. Those two jobs, and a bunch of other ones, have made Ron a very busy guy these days, working on and pitching products built around video wall content and solutions. I managed to slow him down long enough recently to ask him about his company and the thinking and execution on some really big digital canvases. Thanks for joining me. You don't have what I would call or consider a typical agency. Synec seems kind of more like an agency that's got a pretty strong systems integration bent. Can you tell me how your company rolls and what it's all about?
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. We're not like a regular agency. We don't take projects like a regular agency. We're focused on what we call the digital materials. And, you know, in this space, since it's, I would say, very unorthodox in a sense, what you will find that there is very minimal amount of support around your ability to create content or your ability to create features. So there's not a heavy involvement of the big players around how platforms are developed, platforms that help you to create content or platforms that help you to create features. So we kind of find ourselves in a spot that every time we wanted to create content, we were limited by technology, or every time that we were trying to do, you know, something new and exciting from a technology perspective, we were limited by the creative capabilities. So we are somewhat of a hybrid. We have, you know, three main departments. One of them is R&D and software development. The other one is anything to do with operational, which is tend to be very sophisticated with the kind of installation that we do. And the third one will be the studio that is acting as an agency. The idea is to keep the content on a high standard and for the development to enable the creative guys to go as far as they want, and for the operation to implement this smoothly. So the client is not feeling the pain of, this is just new technology and we need to figure out things by ourselves. So that's kind of how we came about and turned to what we are.
And you've been around about 6 years. How did the company start? What did it start as a studio?
So I've been in digital signage, I would say, about 15 years now. Started at Scenario back in the day. Today they are called YCD.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
We were doing installations. Back in the day it was cinemas and outdoor. I had the privilege to participate in some of the kind of first in the world project for large installation. And at one point I started to have my private business, which was basically taking the Scenario product and combining that with creative. So I would say it was kind of like a hybrid from the get-go. And one of the challenges that I had was how do I deal with massive video walls, massive installation. We used to take a warehouse and paint it all with projectors. And the challenge was really how to create content, because the demand was almost on a daily basis. So it was rendering time and delivering and pushing this content to all the endpoints. And I had to figure out a way to work really fast and efficient and reduce costs. So the business would survive from that perspective. And managed to get some breakthroughs on that area. And one day I got a call from Microsoft Store saying that, you know, they installed one of our architecture systems that they bought from Scenario and asked me to come and help them figure out how to switch it on, in a sense. And so I came over. Sure enough, it was my architecture, so it was fairly easy to get it back to life. And they asked me to stick around. So help them to develop their the retail network with these massive video walls. And how do you really manage, control, and create content for a video wall network? Today, it's something like 18,000 displays. And all over the U.S., we have installation in Canada. We have installation all the way to Australia. And more are coming up. But it's a very exciting and big operation with a lot of content that is being pushed and a lot of interesting functionality that I think is, in some cases, are cutting edge.
For people who have perhaps not been in a Microsoft store because they're hearing this in a country that doesn't have one, or they just don't go to a Microsoft store, could you describe what's in there? I kind of describe it as the first retailer who kind of went beyond putting screens on walls to making the walls screens.
That's a good description of that. So the store was designed by Gensler, and what they wanted to create is an immersive experience. At one point in their design, they have switched from just drywalls to video wall. And the idea is to create an atmosphere, to have a tool that is enabling the business with visual communication and somewhat of a differentiating factor compared to other retailers around. And this is how this idea came about. So when you're entering the Microsoft Store, you immerse yourself with an environment, a set of environment that is really, I would say, kind of outstanding from what you normally see in a retail environment. They drive localized content. So in every store that you go, it has its own unique content associated with that local experience.
The Microsoft deal kind of made your company, and you are now, or I guess you have been for a while, located right in Seattle as well, right?
Yes, we have basically two offices, one here in Redmond. We're pretty close to our client here. Funny thing, it was essential just because of the amount of content we create. We're talking about terabytes of data, so we wanted to be close because we didn't have tools back in the day to be able to push this amount of content. This day and age, it's a little bit different. There are services that will allow you to transfer this amount of data, but the work was pretty intense, building a retail network from scratch. It's kind of demanding, and you need to be, you know, in pretty close proximity. That helps to remove a lot of confusion and just time spent. We have another office in Orlando that is mostly focused around creative and local support. But yeah, it's we find those two locations very helpful to deal with mostly really time zone perspective.
Mm-hmm. And Orlando is another case where you're there largely because you have a very large client there in Orlando Airport, right?
That's correct. You know, it's a very big installation. We're talking about a half mile of a video wall, and you have 40 different clients on that video wall, clients being the airport itself, but 40 different airlines. And so you want to be tied in with the schedule of the installation. You want to be very responsive, and you have to be very efficient in your ability to produce content for all of those stakeholders at once. So we realized that it might be a good idea to open an office in this area around this installation.
And kind of like the Microsoft situation, could you describe, for people who've not been to Orlando Airport, I know you said there's like a half a mile of displays. This is a 1,500 displays video wall, all in a strip?
Yes, we have about 700 displays that are positioned behind the check-in counter. So whenever you used to see prints behind the check-in of describing one airline or the other, we replace all that with the display. So it's a continuous display. And then we have about 300 signs that are the wayfinding sign, and that is connected as well to the ecosystem. So the system is very responsive to the activity that is happening in the airport. Ability to quickly change counters, common use is a big word for the aviation industry. And the real challenge over here in the U.S. is how do you still keep the branding capability for the airline if you need to move them and switch them from one area to the other. So having a large digital canvas in the back, you are able to paint a different picture, emphasize a different brand fairly quickly to their level of satisfaction. And what you will experience looking at that wall, if an airline is there, is obviously a branded experience of that airline, and they can take it to any level that they want. So in a sense, you're kind of bringing retail for those airlines into the airport space. This is the first physical encounter that they have with their client. Mm-hmm. When an airline is not there, there is an opportunity for creating an experience for the passenger in the form of content that is describing the environment of Orlando and things that you can see, things that you can visit there. The content is really designed around the passenger experience, how to reduce anxiety. And as you might know, the traveling is in the airport might be a very stressful experience. So we're trying to touch in every point of the passenger experience, and with Pixel, try to solve some of those problems. You will encounter relaxing kind of games. We have a very interesting kind of fish tank. It's a take on the Where's Waldo. So it's a very, I would say, family-oriented airport. And it's been very successful in the sense that you see families really interact while they're standing in line and playing with their kids. Okay, where is the fish? And not worry too much about where their kids are going to run around while they're maybe waiting for 20 minutes in the queue. But also spectacular Orlando. You have a large canvas. We're talking about 40 to 60K of resolution. And we went out and shot all kinds of scenery from Orlando to really show the beauty of the place. You know, the beach that you visited at or the park that you went to. And once you see it in this massive scale, it really gives you a sense of place and an appreciation that, you know, you've been entertained during your visit at the airport. The wayfinding signs, you know, something that I'm very excited about because this is really our first opportunity to introduce something like an AI into the system. The signs, the wayfinding signs are changing based on the activity in the airport. Today, when you're looking at wayfinding, if you're using print, you have to put all the information there at once, whether it's relevant or it's not relevant. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, you have to have this information over there. So imagine a sign that is changing the amount of information based on what is really relevant for the next few hours. So instead of looking at a sign with, you know, maybe 20, 30 items of information, you only see the five relevant ones that are happening right now. It's another way to address anxiety by providing you just what you need and not more than that, digested information in a sense. It will also have elements of animation to hopefully make you smile when you're looking at the display, because there's a little bit of humor into it. you remember those Mad magazines that used to have cartoons kind of written down in between everything. So in between the article or the big kind of feature, they used to have like little doodles over there expressing, you know, something, some situation that is funny. And we're trying to take that spirit and even apply it to the wayfinding signs that are usually dull, boring, just, you know, get me where I need to go. Mm-hmm. But when you start enabling animation and you have the video capability, the idea was that at a glance, when you're looking at the wayfinding sign, it provides you all the information just like a regular sign. But if you linger for just a second more, you might find something funny on that display. And that's what we were trying to catch. If you're in a hurry, here's the information that you need. Go ahead and move on with your life. And if you happen to have a little bit extra time and you linger, maybe we'll make your day slightly better. Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to you browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
How did this start with Orlando Airport? I can't imagine that was in their initial brief. And when you first engaged with them, did they say, we want to communicate at the airline counters and wayfinding, but we want to do it differently?
Mm-hmm. Well, the interesting thing about the Orlando Airport, these guys have been known to be very innovative in many things that they do. Some things are very visible for the passengers. Some elements are really behind the scenes. And I think they really caught on the idea of digital material and the ability to have some influence on the passenger experience, some tool for them to visually communicate what they're all about. And I think one of the drivers, the main drivers for them, they wanted to have the experience for the passenger to be fun. That was kind of the point. And as we started the conversation with them, they got more and more educated around, you know, how far you can go and what can be done. And that kind of opened their mind. Honestly, the whole idea of transforming the new look and feel is coming from them. We went over there during the pilot stage and showed them a bunch of capabilities of what can happen. We showed them a lot of that knowledge. And the decision to go for that type of installation, this massive canvas, was coming from specifically from the airport. This is what they wanted to go for.
It's a very strategic approach to messaging in the airports versus what I've seen with some other airports where they've made a big capital investment in digital signage. And I'm thinking about LAX and maybe some other ones where they've done something that is quite spectacular, but it's really about art as opposed to something that's actually going to move people through the airport and reduce the strain. Was that a discussion?
Yeah, two key principles were there from the get-go. One of them was that this first and foremost need to be relaxing, not a heavy advertisement platform or something of that sort. It was they were very keen about, it needs to feel like us. It cannot feel like, you know, we are in a Times Square or something like that. Mm-hmm. It has to be something that really help us emphasize what we're all about and communicate that we're really interested of making your experience better traveling through our airport. And the second principle was it has to be utilitarian in nature. It's not just a display for the sake of the display, or it's not just a display to make things look pretty. It has to have key functions that are relevant to the way that the airport works. And it needs to be very responsive. It needs to be able to direct people. It needs to be able to promote elements that are tied in directly with the airport activity. And the system was designed in that way. So we have the ability to really connect with the airport command and control and make this system as autonomous as possible. So it's reacting to real activity by the minute, whatever is closing up or closing down or opening. From accountant perspective, from a wayfinding perspective, the system is basically reading from the what they call AIDB. It's the lifeline of information of the airport, and take decisions based on the activity, based on some rules that we taught the system that's how you should behave. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine, and I think I've seen some tweets and things that suggest that the experience at Orlando has led you into at least actively marketing this to other airports, or maybe airports are coming to you. Is this a vertical that you guys are going to be mining?
Well, definitely we're interested in aviation. There's no doubt. The industry is definitely looking into what's next for them. I think that this is a trend that we see across. I don't expect, you know, systems such as ourselves to be adopted in next year and be all over the place. But I think it serves a purpose of being very inspiring of the things that you can do and the boundaries that are no longer there. And I will assume that we will hear more from other airports of what else you can do for us. So I kind of like that. So I want that too. And that part is very exciting for us. We've been participating in a few shows from the airport industry. We enjoyed it very much. There are very active discussions that are taking place over there as far as where they want to go and what they want to improve. And I would say surprised, since I had a little knowledge about this industry before, but there is a lot of collaboration and a lot of conversation. And even though you might say some airlines compete and airports compete, they still have an open conversation to talk about their challenges and share with others about how they go about and solve it. And I kind of grow fond of that aspect of their business, that information and project and success and even failures are being shared together with others so they can learn from one another.
It would seem that the part of the airport, check-in counters aside, that could really use some help in calming down, removing some of the stress and open questioning would be the TSA areas. Have you guys thought about that?
Yes, and we actually do have products around that. You know, with content, there is a lot that you can do to kind of take very strict information and rules and be able to deliver it, I would say, nicely or easily. And having digital materials allow you to adapt. You know, we're working in a world that things are changing very fast. If you're looking at, you know, a website and whatnot, it's very easy to capture the data of how the traffic goes, what people are clicking on, what is the good experience, what is the bad experience. And you find changes on a regular basis very, very quickly because businesses want to make sure that they operate correctly. With installing digital materials, it allows you to make those changes in a physical world and be able to be responsive to a successful attempt that you made or an unsuccessful one by simply changing content or adding a feature. So you can funnel people towards a better experience and have the ability to improve. With a physical installation, you know, being that a wall or a carpet, what you see is what you get, and there's not much you can change. And if you want to change, it's usually very costly and involves a lot of activities to make that happen. That takes time. So digital materials is something that helps you to be very responsive, and I believe provide you much better value to your investment. Mm-hmm. So I can give you an example. As somebody is, I was present in one of those meetings talking about, you know, a new terminal and whatnot. And obviously budgets over there are very big. And that is something that, you know, a number like 100 million or 200 million is just, you know, it's a piece of a puzzle of $1 billion infrastructure or development. And the conversation goes like this. Okay, we have a $200 million over budget. How do we deal with that? And nobody really blinks an eye. Not really a big problem. So we changed the length or the width of a corridor from 20 feet to 18 feet, and that saved us $200 million. Huh. And that made me think about, well, imagine that. What can you do with digital material? And what will be the impact of your investment when you're comparing it to another feet of width for a corridor? Now, of course, there are considerations, and that goes around, you know, what's the capacity of people, lingering time, and that adds to stress as well. And of course, the look and feel of the whole place. But I believe with digital materials, you can address a lot of those elements and being able to manage the crowd that is in your space. Digital material can connect to other data sources, such as heat maps of where things are most stressful, where are the bottlenecks, and how do I help calm people down, as one example, but also redirect people to less stressful areas.
Mm-hmm.
I was just about to say that the systems that are there today allows you an open architecture. So what I mean by that, it means that the digital displays are just a tool that can be driven and can be changed based on other type of data that is available for you. If there will be a new technology tomorrow that provides you this amazing data that you never had before, you can easily adapt it into the digital materials and make sense of it all, or extract really a value that eventually impacts the end user or the viewer. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are you working on? What's your company working on right now that you're able to tell me about?
Well, I can stay on the high level. What can I say and what can I not? I will tell you that we are very interested about AI and how we're taking an advantage of the responsive capability. We're looking into situations that the visual is aware of its surrounding and capable to take decisions. That is an exciting thought and exciting projects that we are working on. The collaboration that we see on that one is huge. And today I feel the tools that are available are very easy to approach. And that is on the front end. In the production line, we see a lot of capabilities that we're already putting in place of making the production faster than before, using cloud rendering and things like that. So mm-hmm. things that used to take us weeks to do, trim it down into a matter of days. So that is another exciting part. You know, for large canvases such as what we're usually handling, the ability to produce content is heavily dependent on third-party authoring tools such as Adobe. And we are always finding new ways to compensate for the lack of infrastructure from an industry perspective to get things more efficient and not keeping them high cost. So those elements are very exciting for us. And we see that actually taking shape right now and affecting the way that we're doing business and how it affects our offering as well.
Very interesting stuff. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate the time.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcasts are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.